What is it? 5:36 post show?
Mm-hmm.
5:36 post show.
5:36
post show. Post show, post show, post show.
That wasn't even me. I don't have much to talk about other than, you know, maybe I thought improv would make me funnier. It doesn't. And I have a lot of fun doing
funny.
It. Touche.
Oh, I forgot about the bit that I wanted to do during the entire show. Damn it.
Do you want to wait until next time so you don't reveal it?
Yeah, you
I'll forget
wait.
About it again.
Just write it here on my tablet.
No, I'll and save we'll have it. I'll save
here,
it.
Here, write it right here it. On my tablet.
No, I'll,
so
I got
you can
it. I got
have it.
It
for next time because I'll have this open.
I'll get it. Just say do the bit.
Not you'll that, forget.
I won't forget what bit if you tell me to do a bit.
Like, people tell me I am funny, so I guess there's that. But improv is not necessarily about being funny, uh-huh. is the weird thing. Improv is about being true, and the funny comes through by finding the game. So, yeah, it's weird. I mean, you find ways to make funny choices, but you trust your team to have your back so much that it's not so much about you.
So, I mean, I'm going to give you do you want some feedback?
Yeah.
It's not hard feedback or anything. But, I mean, I know you pretty well, right? I've talked mm-hmm. to you almost every week for 21 years, right? I think you try to find a smarter joke than an easier joke a lot of the time. And I mm-hmm. think, you know, if you break that and just go for the easier joke, you might find, you know, then work up to the smarter joke later, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, okay, interesting. I mean, the truth about improv is you're not really supposed to go for the joke unless it's the end of a group game or the end of or third beats mm-hmm. in Harold. Like, the joke is not what you're hitting, what you're trying to find. You're trying to find the either the truth or the way to heighten, you know, the way to answer the question
for the heightening, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe you're jumping over some low-hanging fruit going for something harder to reach.
I think that's true. I do think there's overthinking on my part.
And, I mean, you don't want to be obvious because obvious isn't funny, right? Mm. You know, it's the unexpected.
Yeah,
but I think
it's called
if you
A
can,
to C.
Yeah, but if you can find the easy C versus the
A to Z,
the more planned or maybe like, I don't know if this is in your head at all, but it might be like, you're like, if we can get to D, then I can do E, F and G, right? You know, and you're trying to get the D where if you just go to C and then whatever happens next, I don't know if you feel that way or not.
No, not really. Yeah, okay. I would say you're looking for you're not thinking two moves ahead in improv. Never are.
You're just overthinking, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is what I would be doing if I was trying to do improv, I would suck at so bad.
You wouldn't suck. You just gotta.
No, I would.
No. You took the class. You took the classes. You wouldn't suck. You wouldn't necessarily like. You'd be like me. You wouldn't be like up to the top tier, but you'd be fine. You'd be funny. Yeah. Look, people who graduate from, you know, the 101 and do the show, their show's funny. Their show's not like amazing, but it's funny. Because you follow the rules, you'll be funny. It turns out to be pretty simple.
How does the class and the training have anything to help? So like, you know, me as an amateur spectator, it's like, oh, go here. I really wanted to go here. And when it doesn't go there, you're like, oh, missed opportunity. Do they help you break that kind of thinking?
Well, in a way, because what's true now is that when I watch improv shows, I'm not looking at the comedy at all. I'm looking at the structure. I'm looking at how much are they following
really?
Yeah.
So it kind of takes the fun out of it, or the funny out of it, if you know how it's supposed to be structured.
It takes the immediate fun, I suppose, out of it, but it also like it makes you admire something that's super well structured.
Instead of laughing and having, you get it. We were talking with Shannon. I talked with Shannon just the other day about the different types of fun. There's type 1 fun, type 2 fun, and type 3 fun. Do you know about this at all?
No.
Type one fun is doing a beer podcast, right? It's fun while you're doing it. Type two fun is like running a marathon or going on a hard hike, right? Where it's a bitch while you're doing it, but when you're back at camp having a beer, you're like, oh, that was fun.
Okay.
Type three fun is kind of just one step beyond that, where like you were actually in peril and you like say, like the dude that just walked 10 miles with his hiking stick impaled through his ribs.
Oh, you know? Heard about that too.
Yeah.
Like, Sarah was just talking about that to me today.
See, neither type two or type three sound like fun at all.
Well, it's for different types for different people. But, you know, my trip with the hikes and the canoeing, that's all type two fun, right? I wasn't really imperiled, but, you know, it was like.
This doesn't sound like fun. This sounds like achievement, like, or
well, but
or satisfaction.
But it is because of that achievement and that satisfaction, it turns it into fun when you're done. Because I bitched the entire time that I am hiking. You know, 6 miles and 1,900 feet of elevation. I'm literally pissed and bitching the whole time. But when I get back, I'm like, that was great. Like, I'm exhausted.
I mean, so maybe
it was great because it was exhilarating.
The achievement, you know, the reward of thinking I did something hard, right? Mm-hmm. You might not call that fun. Well, other people would call that fun. I'm not judging, you know, maybe the label type two fun is better labeled as post event achievement. I don't know, but
yeah, like, because one thing that I would point out is when we're doing a show, the audience disappears and laughs are great, but you're more just having fun with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that translates, the audience feels that fun too, which is why watching an improv show live is so much better than watching something like video.
Mm-hmm.
Because being there and getting that vibe is something real that doesn't translate.
Yeah. No, I mean, every time we go to a show, like, there's times where we're like, is it worth driving all the way down to Bottle Rocket?
And then
And once we're done, we're like, yeah, that was worth driving all the way down to Bottle Rocket. Mm-hmm. It's always that way.
It is a hike from here.
Yeah. So level two fun.
What do you think of that beer?
It's nice and crisp. I like it. What is it?
It's another Myers Creek. It's the Desert Crest. It's that Mexican lager with lime.
No. Yeah, no, it, I like it.
The lime is very subdue on that thing.
Yeah. It's subtle.
It elevates a Mexican lager.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I agree.
But I mean,
but it's weirdly true that when you're doing a show, like the audience is not
so
focused.
So you just said the audience is not a focus. So maybe my question is going to be off base, but like, are you addicted to doing improv in front of people? Or like,
he obviously is.
Do I enjoy it? Yes.
But yeah. I mean, you're like, when's my next fix? Like,
well, he just joined that other group.
That's what I'm thinking. Is,
I mean, it's really enjoyable for me. Would I do more? Yes. Would I do it every day? No. Like, right. it's you know, would I join a team that like did it every week? Probably.
Would you be on Taskmaster or the
Game Changer?
Game Changer. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would totally
see. I couldn't do that.
I mean, it'd just be fun. Like you're not trying to win. You're just
being whatever. Funny. Yeah. But yeah. I'm so scared of failing. Taskmaster would be
That's where improv,
nightmare.
That's where improv kind of holds you up, because if you're scared of failing, that's okay. You've got everyone else having your back.
And that's great, but I'm my own business.
You're just popping the mic huge. So talk to Greg. But keep I'm the my mic over own here.
Biggest critic.
Me too. And everyone is. Everyone is their own biggest critic.
I can't. I couldn't do it. Even with all the support around me, I would just.
I mean, take a couple improv classes, and I bet you'd be fine with it.
Well, it's quite a drive.
Do you watch any of the Taskmasters, like the spinoffs, like the Australian one, or anything like that?
No, I've only seen I've only seen like three Taskmasters.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were watching it. Well, I thought you watched the Jason Manzoukas.
I did. I watched
the season. Okay. Yeah, season. Okay. Yeah, so like, you know, that I think that was probably the season that got me turned on to it. You know, the Kumail Nanjiani season, kind of what you're talking about. Like, he was too driven to win, to have fun, and it took away from some of his, you know, stuff. We're watching the Australian one right now, and there's this guy named Brett Blake on it. Oh, he's almost better than Jason, like, in that, because he's like, he doesn't give a fuck.
He was made for the show.
The thing about Taskmaster and Game Changer is that it's silliness. Yeah. And silliness, I'm totally good game with. Like, yes, absolutely, I'm a ham. I will absolutely be silly. So, yeah, if I had the chance to be silly, I will be silly. I've lost the fear, mostly from doing this show, from the, you know, many years of doing this show. Just once we started, like, not caring about editing, you quickly had to figure out that you can't be embarrassed about your stumbles and just go over and just do whatever you want. And at that point, you're just like, well, yeah, whatever happens, happens. And it turns out nobody really cares.
Nobody's listening.
We had more people listening at one point, and nobody really cared.
Yeah.
Greg, not you.
No one complained. No one complained. Yeah. And the weirdest, you know, thing was, you're like, oh, no one's listening, and there's just a bunch of downloads, and then you run into someone on the street, and like, I never miss an episode. Like, wow,
that's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. And what do you say to that? You just And the weird thing is like, wow, awesome. That's so nice. And you're just like, cool.
Tell me about yourself. It's really because you know everything about me.
I worry about doing that because I wouldn't remember.
I just listened to, I didn't know Hank Green had a actual podcast. He did a 90-minute interview with the commander from Artemis II, Reed, was Reed's last name? Anyway, the commander of Artemis
Richards.
II. No.
Reed Richards is the Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I thought it was fantastic because it was kind of like two geeks geeking out about the mission, even though one guy ran the mission. And it was like none of the NASA talking points that we saw in, like, you know, when they, once they landed and went on their press tour and stuff like that. Such a good, like, for example, one of the things I learned, and this is for everyone listening at home too, but, you know, if you went to the NASA live stream, you saw that cabin camera of the astronauts floating inside the cabin. That wasn't part of the mission. Reed got permission to bring that GoPro like last minute and had it in his flight suit pocket. And they figured out a way to hook it up to downstream it. And they, for most of the mission, the astronauts thought that was just streaming to mission control, not going out on NASA TV. And like, that was like the most endearing part and engaging part was watching these people just do their job. And that was an accident. And that, like, you know, and like just talking about all, it was a really good, Hank Green's podcast is called Humans. And the most recent episode has this interview and everyone listening should check it out. I just saw an article right before you came. Hank Green's catching some shit because he did a show. He's been using AI to write his scripts for some shit. So, so he's been, maybe he's canceled now. I don't know.
Astronaut Reed Reisman thinks we're going to be okay.
Yeah, that best 90 minutes I spent today. So good.
Are you talking about what you told me I needed to listen to?
Related to that, I think this was after the AI thing, but Hank Green on his YouTube put out this 10-minute essay or poem.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I was like, I was bored.
Oh, see, it moved me. I liked it.
And it was cheesy to me. And okay. whack off motions.
Okay. I liked it. Maybe a little wispy in the eyes.
Yeah. I don't listen to it.
This is not for me the time for poetry about how great humans are.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we kind of suck.
Yeah. And I recognize that was part of his thing, but also like, yeah, no, I'm not into like, aren't humans really cool right now? It's like, right now. Sorry, man.
got some flaws.
Yeah. There are some really gaping flaws in how we are being and how we're acting. And maybe things get better.
Let's hope.
But it's just a pendulum that keeps swinging back and forth. The idea of like the end of history is out the window. There are people were talking, you know, that when the 90s or, you know, more international order and it seemed like everything's going to be stable and we're just going to be on a pure.
Yeah. I also just saw an article today that Iran had some missiles strike AWS data centers in Bahrain.
Did you say good?
Yes, I did.
But like the idea,
I mean, as long as nobody got hurt.
But the idea of, you know, U.S. companies, cloud data centers are in, you know, your game now. That's a whole fucking thing. Great. Super.
That's going to be fun for our jobs.
The internet was a mistake.
Kind of proven to be that way.
What'd you say? The internet was a mistake?
It was a mistake.
With great power comes great responsibility. Yes, we do not have the responsibility.
The real, like,
obviously.
Tech bro, and I've totally fell into this, the utopia around what the internet could be was bullshit. And it's proving to be that way. Not that it doesn't help certain things, and not that certain things haven't gotten better because of it, but it's caused so much problems that at least right now, it counts to me as more of a mistake than a contribution to society. My hope is that 20 years from now, we'll be able to say something different.
Yeah. My hope is that we're here 20 years from now.
Well, by me saying that 20 years from now, we'll be able to say something different, I think that it's the implication the is same. We'll be hope. We'll be
I mean, I've never thought this far ahead. Like, I thought today far ahead on this podcast, but could you imagine me in 70 plus and still doing this podcast? That's crazy.
Why not?
I mean, I don't know, because it's a new idea to me, but be a bunch of senior citizens doing their podcast that they've been doing for 42 years.
42 years going strong.
That would
this
be insane.
Great.
I guess it's a new goal.
Yeah.
And then I'll have my vocabulary, my beer vocabulary. No, you'll be down as, pat, man.
As much beer expert as we are, to whatever extent we are. Which, you know, I think at one point we probably were hitting that to a bit and we've then dropped significantly.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably wouldn't beer judge as high as I once had. Different motivations now.
I mean, it's a different beer world. The whole beer world is so different.
We have different things that we're involved in. You're doing your improv. Mm-hmm. We're doing all of our making stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, we're still enjoying beer. And
beer's still good.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy that one shitty podcast started this. Thanks, Screwtops.
Thank you, Screwtops, for burping on mic.
I don't know what you guys
are
talking about.
There was a podcast that started before we started, and it was almost the podcast I wanted, but they didn't know. They were wrong about what they thought they knew.
Oh.
Like, I remember them describing a milk stout wrong. You know, instead of having, you know, milk sugars, powdered lactose added, I forget what they said, but they described it wrong.
They described it like bilk?
Found myself yelling at the radio kind of thing. And then, but their gimmick was that they'd burp on mic.
Ugh.
And, but they were taking it seriously, but they didn't know enough to know they were wrong. And then they burped on mic. And I'm like, this would be a good show if they knew more, because I like their vibe and the seriousness of it. But the burping's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple other beer podcasts. And, you know, I wanted to, like, I think I can do better. And I'm like, but
that was a time when, yeah, you could just start a podcast and just do better.
I knew from listening that people doing podcasts by themselves just had to be really good to be engaging. But if you had a partner to banter with, you didn't have to be that good, and it's still engaging. So, and then, you know, great. You know, because of circumstances.
We're still not that good, but hey, here we are.
We're engaging. <hopefully. laughs> We're not that engaging. But no, it's like, oh, hey, Greg, because you'd done some radio in college. You were kind of into beer. And I don't know if this is part of my plan, but I knew more about beer. Greg was like a pretty newbie neophyte. And that was a great dynamic at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And shit happened. And we have been to
GABF. I would say we had 10 or 15 awesome shows in our 500 or so.
That's a good ratio.
Yeah.
Is it? What's that percentage?
No. Not high, but but like still.
I was expecting a quick answer, accuracy. The percentage. 10, oh, 15, that's
arithmetic.
500,
no one likes 30. Arithmetic. Oh. Accountants like arithmetic. Well, let's see. 10% of 100 is 10, right? Mm-hmm. And so 10% of 500 would be
50.
50.
So we have like 4% good shows.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like 4% awesome shows.
1 out of 20. We do it.
Yeah.
1 out of 25.
Yeah. Something like that. Something. But like, yeah, there's a lot of like chaff, you know, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I've never been a part of a perfect improv show. We've been doing doing Harold's for now eight class, 3-hour sessions. Like, still have not been a part of a perfect show yet.
What's the vibe of the practices versus the performances?
It's a lot because you do exercises and then you do a break and then you do two heralds, basically, like two shows. Mm-hmm. And it's exhausting by the end of it, especially with the heat.
Mm, yeah.
Whereas like when we did our show at Arcade, we just went out there and did a show. We did, you know, a couple warm-ups downstairs and then went up and did a show. And then it was easy. Yeah. It was a lot easier than it is doing a Harold at the end of class. Uh-huh. But yeah, so like my last Harold, like I got stuck in a character mode and I wasn't following the game. Like, so like there's plenty of things that like, but I was fine with that because it's class. Uh-huh. You know, you're trying things and where you're going to screw up. You're going to screw up in class. It's a great place to screw up and not, you know, and it was still funny, but it was not.
Were you trying to force? Like, so I'm just curious, right? You said you were stuck in a character instead of following the game.
Yeah.
Were you like trying to force a thing? Like, or like.
Yeah, it was more. It was me trying to force something, and it was me kind of not getting on the same page with my scene.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that would be easy to have. Well, I mean, to fall into.
It's why. You asked me the last, you know, the last time, did they prepare something beforehand? You can't do that.
Yeah.
When you do that, it fails. And it fails hard because that's just not how improv works.
Yeah.
So whenever you see improv, when they say this is all made up on the spot, it's legitimate because that's the only way it works. I was going for more character because one of the criticisms I got was, I tend to be more, you know, more mellow and stuff in scenes and not express necessarily a strong point of view, whereas expressing a strong point of view can really help.
Right.
Both.
But you anchored too much and you weren't flexible.
Yeah. I was too focused on the point of view and not focused on what the pattern was that we could then gamify.
Being funny is hard.
Being good improvisational. Being good improv is hard and
but fun.
But fun.
That's okay, so level two
so,
fun.
So here's a question for
that's
you.
That's level two fun.
Okay. Okay.
So here's a question for you.
Right,
is
Jeff?
There yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, because it you know, it might feel shitty or hard in the moment you fucked up, but when you get done, you're having that beer with your friends. You're like, that was awesome. I'm glad I did that. You know,
that's at the end of class, you're not always like, this is awesome. No. You're more
but
like, that you're was
still
awesome.
Glad I did that.
But you learn something and you're like,
yeah,
hey, I accomplished something today. I
Yeah, it sucked. I mean, it's more like improv reps matter.
And improv doing it over and over again matters a lot. So you're building up that muscle memory.
You made a point a couple times tonight to kind of separate being improvisational and not being funny.
Yeah.
Is there like a kind of improv where you're like intentionally not funny?
Yeah, there's drama. There's dramatic improv.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you're intentionally not funny?
You're not. You're really not searching for the joke. You're not. You're not trying to find a game. And in essence, that's kind of what acting is. You're trying to embody a character, and you're not really searching for a game. You're just trying to embody how that character would be, and be as real as that character would.
That's along a script, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I do find that some of the best actors have improv training, because they know how to embody a character and how to take that character's point of view. And you still have to follow a script, but then you can take that perspective and follow that. Like in Severance, like those are all improv actors.
Severance?
Yeah.
Are they?
Uh huh.
Interesting. Or
at least two of them are. Helly and Dylan.
Huh.
Both UCB trained.
That's cool.
So, yeah, I mean, like,
Dylan, I mean, yeah, I see it with Dylan for sure. What's the supervisor's name? The black guy with the mustache?
I know his name is Tillman. And it's
so bad at remembering characters. You know,
he feels like he's improv, too, like, especially when he has to do the more absurd things as an employee, you know?
I don't know whether he's UCB trained or not, but those two I know are. But I do think that, like, it's a shortcut to acting, but there literally is like shows where they do dramatic improv, and it's just drama. And if you're searching for a game, you're not searching for the funny game. Mm-hmm. You're searching for the game that ties the scenes together. But I've not really got into that form. I'm more of the let's be silly and fun. Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel if I went to an improv show and it was like, wow, that was deep, but I didn't laugh once, you know.
I really don't think it's there for. I mean, there are shows that do, but I think it's more for people who are into improv,
who are
want to see a
like, wow, that affected me, but I feel icky, you know. Like going to an improv show that does that, it'd be moving. I'm not sure it's what I wanted to go see.
I don't think it's. Yeah, I don't really think it's there for. For the crowds, it's more for the experiment of it. Mm-hmm. There certainly isn't, as far as I know, like training for it. It's actually, more like, you know, like trying. Like there is no class that I know of anywhere that does like dramatic improv.
Yeah,
it's just take your improv skills and try to do them in dramatic ways.
Mm-hmm. I mean, remember the first couple episodes of The American Office? I never saw The British Office, but like oh, that feels weird.
Of The Office?
The Office. The first couple episodes. Like later on, either it changed or I got used to the comedy.
No, but that was dry humor. The first couple episodes
were like...
Lots of UCB people there, both in actors and in the writers.
Mm.
Yeah, but it was like almost like that. I kind of feel icky watching Michael Scott be Michael Scott, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, so Steve Carell was Groundlings, but like BJ Novak, UCB... Yeah. Mindy Cote, UCB, Angela Kinsey, UCB, I believe. Cool. Yeah, no, but like it is, you're trying to be funny, but you're not trying to be funny. That's the way I would put it. Like you're not out there looking for the joke.
Well, you don't want everything to come out of your mouth to cause laughs, but you want to get a laugh at the right time.
Yes. Yeah. Like if a joke happens and a joke is natural, cool, but going for the joke is often pulling too hard on the string.
Uh-huh.
So you go for the natural thing that feels right. And sometimes it is the joke is the best way I can put it. But again, you're like, it really gets kind of heady in like improv 201, where you're talking about game and you're really sort of getting into what is game, how do you find game, and you kind of get a feel for it more than you get a way to totally describe it. I think there are two ways to go about it. One way of going about game is very much like with your scene partner, finding a rhythm and an idea that you guys are both, that both of you have walked through and are sort of seeing the same thing, and then just playing off of each other. And that's one way of doing game. The other way of doing game is find a pattern, repeat that pattern three times, Heidi. Mm-hmm. Right? Like very mechanical, just do something that you find a quick pattern, like, cool, let's just repeat this pattern.
Yeah.
Both work. Both are hard.
Yeah, I always look for what I like. I think one of the things I like best is where, you know, the scene is set up and then someone breaks an expectation. You know, like that.
Well, that's the goal. Like, that's where game starts, is when something is unusual. What's the unusual thing? And then, okay, the question about what's the unusual thing is settled on, because sometimes someone agrees on an unusual thing, but the other person doesn't find that.
Yeah.
Once both people or whoever people are in the scene agree on the unusual thing, then it's asking if this is true, what else is true? Mm-hmm. So once you find the game, you stop so much yes anding, and you do more if this then this. Mm-hmm. But that's a very mechanistic way to look at it, and that's a way that again, when you're watching a show after you've done all these classes, you watch for these things. You're looking not for what's the joke that was missed, but rather what's the pattern that was there. How much have they succeeded in taking that pattern and mirroring it in the games that follow?
Yeah. So this current season of Game Changer, are you liking it?
It's one of the best. It's really, really good.
What do you like in particular? Like, what stands out for you so far?
How elaborate the games are is one thing.
Definitely.
Like, how much more effort is put into making the premises go crazy. Mm-hmm. And the way in which winning has become not at all like the part
surviving.
Yeah. Like it's like the winner of Count the Rice got like a rotisserie chicken. Like it's not about winning. It's about the fun that you have, and it's like Taskmaster. It's like, it's not about winning. It doesn't matter. It, you know, you're not, you get like a thing on Wikipedia that says you won. And it doesn't mean anything. It's more about playing the game and the tension between, all right, how much is Sam fucking with us versus how much are we fucking with Sam?
Sam like, does get a lot more shit these days.
Yeah. That Sam is like, you're inflicting this upon us, but we're not going to make it easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time to count the rice. I said, time to count the rice.
Time to count the rice.
Oh, that was good. Kangaroo Court was super good. And then this recent one was almost like it was.
Oh, the make some noise. Noise to make.
How they. They bamboozled the PA to help out.
Like, yeah.
That was wild. Good mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first I'm like, they should have just got three more people. Like, but it was a good mechanic.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how they're going wild with premises and you do feel like each episode is its own different thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun show.
There was one early in the season.
Really fun show.
But I forget what it was.
The one with the judges.
The Kangaroo Court.
That was the Kangaroo Court. Okay.
There was one where they had to convince the jury.
What was the one with the, they were like on the Monopoly.
That was what the judges.
Was that one with the judges?
That was the judges. It was like, okay. It was like Candyland, but.
Yeah, Candyland.
Yeah. But they could only succeed by having the like legal guy.
Okay.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that one was really good.
It was so good. It was so good.
That trying was to get a season list here real quick, but yeah, that. Yeah. I mean,
So far, anyway.
The cast on that one. I mean, Luke was hilarious on that one. And who? I forget who.
Well, yeah, it was Lou, Allie, and it was Jeremy, right? Jeremy Colhoun, who's also on Saturday Night Live right now.
Oh, yeah. 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 He's great.
He's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I swear every time Brendan's on the show, he feels like it's a game against him. Yes. Like, I mean, there literally was a game against him.
That's his shtick. I mean, he's, you know, he knows enough to repeat that shtick because that's what they're look like. That's his character on the show. Yeah. So he's going to just go hard on that.
He's going to monologue. He's going to feel that it's stacked against him. It's,
I mean, like that's not like him in real life or him on other shows, but that is him on Game Changer. Yeah.
The outtakes.
Oh, the behind the scenes?
Yeah. Behind the scenes.
Those are really good.
Those are fun to watch.
Yeah, look, Dropout's good.
It is. Highly recommend. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it.
I still think you guys have, you bought a subscription. I'm pretty sure you don't have my.
Maybe I did. I don't know. The last two episodes, I they were unwatched.
We can test it out, but I can just disconnect you guys from my.
Oh, dude, oh, don't do that.
Don't do that. we
the fun thing is Dropout is okay with you sharing.
I tried to actually buy it the one last time I couldn't get logged in, and then ShopPay or whatever.
Like, Vimeo know, like they know my pass, they know my username or something.
No. I mean, Xbox, if I don't keep the token fresh, it'll time out, you know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So the last, and this was a while ago, but the last time I went to Dropout and it's like, you need to log in. I'm like, okay, fine. They earned my money. I tried to pay and the it screwed up. And you mentioned because I might have another account previously because it was ShopPay or something like that.
Or Vimeo. I think Vimeo was
Vimeo, but I haven't been logged out lately and I'm used to the new episodes being already viewed because you view them and the last two, they were unviewed, and
well, part of it is that on Mondays I'm in class,
right?
Maybe that's
so. It. That's I'm sure we're still on your.
So if you haven't noticed that, account. Like, oh, I haven't watched that, but it says I watched that.
No. Every time I go, it says new.
Huh. Okay. I don't know. Like I said, maybe Cosmic Ray flipped a bit, and I want someone else's account.
Keep it as long as you need it.
Yep. I need to go to the bathroom.
All right, you should
wrap it.
Yeah, keep going. Happy potion, well, everybody. Awesome.
Thank you all. We'll see you next month.
See ya.
In like 2 hours.
Bye-bye.